For those that I haven't had a chance to meet, my name is Jason, and I'd love to have a chance to get to meet you and hear your story. And after our service, I'm going to make my way out to the Next Steps area, and I'd love to just meet you. So if you would, take a moment, come by, introduce yourself. If you're watching online, we want to welcome everyone watching online. Today, we're praying for miracles today. And as we wrap up our service, don't just log off of Facebook Live, but chat. We're going to have one of our staff that's going to be on there praying with you. So submit your prayer request so that we can pray with you. Today is a day of miracles. And so as we get ready to get going today, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. We're going to be there in just a little bit. Hopefully you've realized over the course of this series that there's been this hunger that's kind of been growing and welling up inside of you. My prayer is that we would be willing and have a desire to grow and meet and encounter God on a regular basis, because we can't go from Sunday to Sunday only having one conversation with God. If I go from Sunday to Sunday, only meeting with God once, only talking to God once, that would be kind of similar to coming on Sunday and eating a meal and then waiting until next Sunday to eat another meal. And if you've ever gone that long without eating, somewhere along the way, you're going to get hungry, you're going to get tired, you're going to get sluggish, and if you're like me, you're going to get a little bit irritable. People aren't going to want to be around you. You know what I'm saying? And yet sometimes that's what we do with our spiritual walk. Like, hey, pastor gave me a good word on Sunday. If I can only make it to next Sunday, maybe pastor can give me another good word. Well, listen, God doesn't want you to go from Sunday to Sunday only having one conversation with him. He wants us to learn to meet with him on a regular basis, to encounter his presence and his grace. And here's the deal, what we've been learning as we've been walking through the year of the altar is we can meet with God anywhere, any place, anytime. What it takes is a desperate heart crying out for an encounter with Jesus. A desperate heart crying out with an encounter with Jesus. And that's what this series has been about, because the altar is not a carved out piece of wood that we would find at the front of a traditional looking building. The altar is not a pile of stones that we see in the Old Testament. The altar is an encounter with the living God that takes place in our heart and transforms our life. The altar. See, if you're waiting until tomorrow to meet with God, if you're waiting till you get your life cleaned up in order to meet with God, if you're waiting till you fix the sin problem in your life in order to meet with God, if you're waiting for someday off in the future when everything is right in order to meet with God, then you're missing out on what God wants to do today. God wants to meet with you today. That's what we've been talking about today. God wants to meet with you right now. He has something for you right now. Moses, in the Old Testament, Moses encountered God at a burning bush on the backside of the desert. Jacob encountered God wrestling with his past on a dusty, lonely road. Isaiah encountered God when he was running for his life. In the New Testament, Paul encounters Jesus on the road to Damascus as he's persecuting believers. As soon as those men abandoned their own desires, they surrendered their will and their wants to God, they learned to listen to what God was saying, and that encounter transformed the rest of their life. And just as God met those men in the Old Testament and the New Testament and transformed their life, God wants to meet with you today. Not just tomorrow, he wants to meet with you today. And when we meet with God today, the living God, he wants to transform our lives in such a way that the rest of our future is changed because of moments like this. So why wait until tomorrow when God wants to meet with us today? Waiting for tomorrow is like putting off an encounter with God that could change your life today. So if you're taking notes, I want you to follow along. I want you to take some notes. Today, what I want to talk to you about is don't allow waiting for tomorrow to steal what God wants to do today. Don't allow waiting for tomorrow to steal what God wants to do today. Everybody say the word today. Today. God wants to do something in your life today. There's this incredible story found in John chapter 5 where Jesus confronts a person that has one of those, well, maybe tomorrow kind of mindsets. Maybe tomorrow God might show up. And so I want us to read this story today. It's found in John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. So in John chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says it this way. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Let's pray. Jesus, I ask that today you would answer the longing of our hearts with your presence. And as we hear your Holy Spirit whispering that same question to us, do you want to get well? May the cry of our hearts be a yes. God, there's so much that's bursting in my heart of what I want to say, but I ask that you would shape my words around your will so that it would be your words that you're wanting us to hear and respond to today. Give us ears to hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit. Give us faith to believe your word and a courage to act. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you want to get well? It seems like an odd question to ask someone who's been sick for 38 years. Do you want to get well? It seems like a trivial question for someone who's been waiting for their tomorrow for nearly four decades. He's been stuck thinking his miracle might come tomorrow. It didn't happen today. There's always tomorrow. One day, off in the future, maybe God might shine a smile down on him because it didn't happen today. Notice the scripture says that Jesus walked past the sheep gate. If you have your Bible open, underline that or circle that. I think that's kind of interesting to me. Jesus walked past the sheep gate in order to get to the pool of Bethesda. The sheep gate was the gate through which the sacrificial lambs, the lambs that were about to be taken to the altar and sacrificed on the altar, the sheep gate was the place where the lambs would be taken out and paraded through the streets and would end up in the temple where they would become a sacrifice. And so this man was sitting by the sheep gate so close to the altar, and yet never had a personal altar moment that transformed his life. So close, yet so far. And then along comes Jesus, the Lamb who would take away the sins of the world. And Jesus passed by the sacrificial lambs that were kept by the sheep gate, and he made his way to the pool of Bethesda. Now, the word Bethesda, write this down. The word Bethesda means the house of mercy or the house of grace. The house of mercy or the house of grace. How many times in my life have I needed mercy and grace from God? And it was here at the pool of Bethesda where the lame, the crippled, the blind, the diseased would camp out all day, every day, waiting for their tomorrow to come, waiting for their miracle to come. The belief was that periodically an angel would come down and stir the water, and when the waters were stirred, the first one in would be healed and cured from all their disease. It was a first come, first healed kind of situation. And it's amazing to me that at this place called the House of Mercy, at this place called the House of Grace, it was all about works. It was all about who got into the pool first. If you got in there first, you got healed. If you weren't first, maybe tomorrow. The people there were competing with one another for their altar moment. Can I get there before them? I wonder if that's a picture of the church today. We're so busy competing with the world, trying to prove our relevance to the culture of today, that we miss opportunities to create a God moment with the God of mercy and grace. Can you imagine the awkwardness of the people? Same group of people every day. Same group of sick, blind, paralyzed, invalid people. Just a group of sick people that were there one day after the other, after the other, after the other. Likely they all knew each other and they knew everything about each other. There's a group of people that were waiting for a miracle. There's been times in my life that I've been part of that group. I've been part of the group saying, God, I desperately need you. God, I need you to show up. God, I need you. Like the song we just sang, be my way maker. God, it seems impossible or difficult. God, I need you. There's been moments in my life, I've been part of that group, waiting by the pool of Bethesda. God, maybe today could be the day Jesus walks in. Maybe you're in that group today, right now. Maybe that's where you find yourself, needing a miracle in your life. And the way we define miracles, I like this definition of a miracle. A miracle is something I know I need, but only God can do. Something I know I need, but only God can do. And maybe that's where you're at right now. There's a miracle. There's something you know that needs to be done, but only God can do it. See, when Jesus walked into the pool by the pool of Bethesda, the people lying there had no clue who he was. And I wonder if it's the same today. If Jesus were to walk into church services today, would we recognize him? If Jesus were to walk into our church today, would we recognize him? There's so many times that the move of God and what God wants to do doesn't fit into our nicely planned order of services. That what God is wanting to do doesn't fit in our comprehension of how God is supposed to move and operate. And we miss him. We miss seeing God. We miss encountering God because he doesn't fit into our nicely prescribed little box of what God is supposed to do and how God is supposed to show up. And the people were by the pool of Bethesda waiting for grace and mercy, and they missed Jesus, the spotless lamb and the source of all grace and mercy. He walked right past them, and they missed him. They were desperate to be healed, and they missed the healer. Has that ever happened for you? Desperate for an encounter with God, but too busy to meet with God? Desperate for an encounter with God, but God's answer didn't fit in our nice box or the way we thought God should answer our prayer? I've been there. I remember earlier in my life, I was desperate to be free from insecurity. Like, I struggled with insecurity. And when a preacher would be up here preaching, and I would run to an altar, and I would stand or kneel at an altar, and I'd just cry my guts out, waiting, hoping that maybe the preacher would come by and put his hands on me and pray a prayer of knowledge or a word of prophecy that would stir up faith inside of me, that would stir up courage inside of me, that would stir up direction inside of me, that would stir up passion inside of me. And if it didn't happen, if I didn't get prayed for, man, my shoulders would drop, and I just kind of walked back to my seat just second guessing, well, maybe God just doesn't love me like he likes other people. Maybe I misheard God. Maybe God really doesn't want to use me. But here's the deal. The journey God took me on, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, stir up the flame, the gift of God that's inside of you. He doesn't say, wait for someone else to stir up the fire inside of you. It's like the Holy Spirit said, Jason, quit waiting for someone else to stir up the fire that's inside of you. Fan the flame. Fan the flame. And for me, it means there's moments in my life that I have to get down on my knees, even when I don't feel it. There's moments I have to get down on my knees. In the busyness of life, there's moments I have to get down on my knees. If things are going well or things aren't going all that well, I have to get down and I have to take that little spark of a flame and a hope that's inside of me, and I have to begin to fan and to flame the fire, the gift of God that's inside of me. And I have to personally encounter God. See, here's the deal. You can't blame someone else for the fact that you're not having encounters with God if you're not willing to get in the trenches of building an altar. If you're not willing to fight for your encounter with God, if you're not desperate for the presence of Christ in your life, it's not the worship team's job to sing the right song. It's not the pastor's job to stir me with a moving sermon. It's not the internet's job with another encouraging meme. It's my job to become desperate about encountering the presence of God. And when I stopped looking at all my obstacles and all my difficulties and all of my offenses and all of my what-ifs, I began to see Jesus had already won the battle for all the insecurities in my life. He already won the battle. He's just waiting for me to open my eyes and see him. See, the people lying by the pool of Bethesda on that day were just steps away from an encounter of mercy and grace that would transform their life, but they were so consumed with their issues. They're so consumed with themselves. They're so consumed with their problems. They're so consumed with their issues that they saw Jesus and they didn't recognize him, and they probably just thought he was a pool boy. Listen, Jesus isn't your pool boy. Jesus is the one that declares peace, be still, and calms the storm. Listen, Jesus isn't here to measure your algae. He's here to test the temperature if you're hot or cold. Listen, Jesus isn't here to check the chlorine levels of your pool. He's here to clean out the bacteria called sin in your life. And when Jesus walked by the pool of Bethesda on that day, there's an altar call about to take place. The man who had waited for 38 years was about to experience a healing because he is about to encounter the living God. His tomorrow was about to become his today. See, there's one place that changes everything. And we've been talking about it for 6 weeks now. There's one place that changes everything. One place that will restore your joy. One place that will restore your peace. One place that will heal your body. One place that will transform your heart and your mind. One place that will stir your passion to change the world around you. And that place is the altar. The altar is the place where who you've been is interrupted by who you can become in him. And Jesus walked up to the lame man and asked him one simple question. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed? That man at the pool of Bethesda had waited for 38 years to hear that question. Do you know how he answered? Verse 7 tells us his answer. Verse 7 says, "Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool. And when the water is stirred, while I'm trying to get in, someone else always gets in before me." Can you hear his voice a little bit? Can you see? He's kind of making an excuse, not necessarily an explanation. Listen, God doesn't want our excuses. He wants our heart. Right? God doesn't want our excuses. He wants our faith. God doesn't want our excuses. He wants our attention. God doesn't want our excuses. He wants all of us. And when Jesus asked the man by the pool of Bethesda if you want to get well, he was asking him, have you had enough? Have you had enough of the slavery? Have you had enough of the despair? Have you had enough of the worry? Have you had enough of the pain? Have you had enough of your sickness? Have you had enough? This man was lying in the house of mercy and grace every single day without experiencing it. And there's mercy and grace right in front of you today, the same way it walked up to the man by the pool of Bethesda. You don't have to wait for tomorrow. Jesus is here today. And Jesus was asking him, do you want to be healed? Jesus was wondering, have you just had enough? Are you ready to turn it over to me? Are you ready to let me be Lord of all? Are you ready to trust me? Can I have your heart? Will you choose me over your circumstances? Have faith and invite God into your pain. I believe, and we've had people that have been fasting and praying for this moment today, for this service today, for what God wants to do in the altars today, to bring healing today. Do you want to be healed? Sir, I don't have anybody to help me. Like, I had people help me get here to the pool, but then they left. And when the waters are stirred, somebody else always gets in before me. Do you know what Jesus says? He's making these excuses to Jesus like we do so often. Well, Jesus, there's this going on. Jesus, my life's so hard. Jesus, I can't get a break. Jesus, people offended me. And Jesus, listen, hey, I don't care about your excuses. And Jesus looks at him. In verse 8 and 9, Jesus says, now, get up. Can you imagine saying that to a paralyzed dude? Get up, pick up your mat, and go. And at once, everybody say, at once. At once. At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. He didn't argue with Jesus. Oh, man, how many times do we argue with Jesus? He didn't argue with Jesus. He didn't try and prove his case with Jesus. He didn't try and tell his sob story one more time to Jesus. He simply obeyed. He simply obeyed. He picked up his mat and he walked. It's time for us today to stand up and pick up our mat and declare, God has healed me. Now, you might have circumstances that have landed you by the pool of Bethesda, waiting for your healing. Maybe you're here, and like the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, maybe you've been waiting 38 years, waiting 38 years for your miracle, 38 years for the restoration of your marriage, 38 years for battling diabetes in your body, 38 years of waiting, four decades of your life, waiting for a moment, waiting for a miracle, 48 years blaming others, 48 years making excuses, 48 years, I'm telling you today, when tomorrow becomes today, Jesus steps in. And today, Jesus is waiting for us to come and leave our crutches and our excuses and our pain at the altar. It's time that we pick up our mat and we walk into freedom and healing. It's time we stop waiting for someone else to stir up our faith. And it's time that we stir up our faith and we believe God at his word. He is the God of mercy and grace and wants to heal us today. This is your moment. I believe today the waters in our faith have been stirred. And Jesus still asks the same question today, Life Church. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Today we're going to pray for miracles. We're going to pray for miracles and we're going to believe God wants to heal us. Just a moment as our worship team comes and lead us in worship. We're going to take a time and we're going to come hungry, desperate to encounter the God of miracles. Maybe for you it might be an emotional miracle and you've been carrying the scars of wounds and pain and you need God to heal your emotions. Last Sunday, if you were here last Sunday, we had the prayer walls here, and we wrote down desperate prayers. Our staff read through those and prayed over those this week. Tuesday morning, we took every one of those prayer requests out, and we prayed. And overwhelmed by the number of people saying, I need God to heal my anxiety and my stress. Overwhelmed by the prayers, I need God to heal my marriage. I believe God wants to heal today. I believe God wants to meet us here today. For 4 years now, we've taken one of these first Sundays of the year to pray for married couples who have not been able to conceive a child. And we're going to pray today and believe that God will bring life to barren wombs. God wants to do it. He wants to do it in your heart and in your life, in your marriage and in your womb. That today would be a day of miracles. For 4 years, we've been hearing God begin to do testimonies, answering so many of those prayers. I want to share one with you, one answer to these incredible prayers that we've been praying that began a journey 3 years ago. I want to tell you about Chancey and Angela. Chancey and Angela live in Oklahoma City, and their sister, Becky Stewart, is our early childhood coordinator over with our babies right now. So Becky called her sister and said, you have to get to Life Church. You have to get here. So they came, and I want to tell you their story in their words. This was the update by text message that they sent us this week. They write, they said, 3 years ago, my sister Becky encouraged us to come to the Weekend of Miracles service. We've been trying to conceive for several years. We had visited specialists, and we were told that there wasn't anything they could do for us. We drove down from Oklahoma to be in the service, to go to an altar for prayer. That day, we both felt that one day we would be blessed with a little girl. In the meantime, in the process of waiting for God's answer, we began the process of fostering to adopt. It took a little over a year, and in late 2018, we were able to adopt our son, William. We continued to pray and trust what God had spoken to us in an altar would one day happen in our lives. In March 2019, we found out what was impossible became possible, and we were expecting. And on December 5th of 2019, just 2 months ago, we welcomed our baby girl, Marcy, into our family. Come on. story after story of God answering prayer. Isn't little Marcy beautiful? He is the God of miracles. So let me invite everybody to stand up. As we go into prayer in just a moment, at the front of each aisle, there'll be a vase with pink and white roses in it. If today you're here and you're believing God wants to do a miracle in your womb, you've been trying to conceive a child and you haven't, I can sympathize with your ache and your waiting, but I know a God that can heal you. And so I want to respect and honor your privacy. But if today in the desperation of your heart, you want to pray and ask God to meet you there, would you just come forward and grab one of these roses out of the vase and just hold it? I'll let our prayer team know in just a moment as our prayer team begins to move around. They'll know specifically what you're standing and believing God for, and they'll pray with you, believing that today God will bring life to barren wombs. If you need a miracle today, a miracle is something I know I need, but only God can do. He is the God of miracles. And we're believing today the God of mercy and grace, the God who heals us, is here today. Today. And he asks, do you want to be healed? I'm going to open in prayer and open these altars. Our worship team is going to lead us in worship. I'm going to invite you to worship in your seat. But if you're here and you need to encounter God's grace and mercy, you have a miracle in your life. Whatever miracle you're asking God for, would you run down to an altar? Let's pray. Let's seek God. One of our prayer team will come around and pray with you. They'll have little lanyards on and name tags. But today we're going to believe God is a God who meets us today. Let's pray. Jesus, we believe that today is a day of miracles. Today is a day to encounter your grace and your mercy. Today is our day to be at the pool of Bethesda, the house of mercy and the house of grace, to experience the author of grace and mercy, to encounter the one who fulfilled every prophecy and promise and has provided through the atonement of Jesus Christ healing for our sick and broken bodies. There is an answer to the curse of sin. And today, in faith believing Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice on the altar, has provided for our healing. So we invite you to come and in this moment to stir not just the waters of the spiritual atmosphere, but stir the waters in our soul to believe God is here answering prayers. Lord, we open these altars, and in faith, we come running to your presence to encounter your grace and mercy, that today, as you ask us, do you want to be healed? The cry of our hearts is yes. The desperate cry of our hearts is yes. We'll build an altar and we'll encounter our healer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship and let's pray.